Luke chapter 2 and beginning at verse 41. We're going to miss out the middle section, but we'll be referring to it in the talk. So I'm reading verses 41 to 45 at first. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they travelled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and their friends. And going to verse 49, when they'd found him, "Why are you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying. We probably all find ourselves at different times in those apparently impossible situations, at those times when we wonder what to do next. Sometimes it's serious, and sometimes they're situations which, although we feel slightly pressurized ourselves, they aren't particularly serious, looking at objectively. I went down to have a meal with some friends in South London last Friday evening. It was, had to go to the DLR, to Deptford Bridge, station, which was great. I'd never been there, but it was obviously a really civilized place because when I got there in the dark, there was no one around. Clearly, it was a place where, like all sensible people, 7:15 on a Friday evening, they were at home watching the television or having something to eat. But it was slightly unsettling because the map I'd drawn down from the internet seemed to bear no relation to the situation in which I found myself, in spite of the fact the Deptford Bridge station was there on it. Nothing else was anything like the map. And I thought, this is a nightmare. I'm already 3 minutes late. I want to make a good impression on these friends who are totally together. What will I going to do? And I eventually found a wonderfully friendly woman who looked at my map and said, she said, it might help if you had it the right way up. Then you could see where it was. So, you know, naturally, that killed any last vestiges of chauvinism in my life. I said, oh, thank you very much. It does look much more familiar now, which was a polite rather than an accurate statement. But I thought she'd been very helpful. And she went off into the night. And I went along what I thought might be the place and then found another person, because I was by then totally lost. She said, go that way. Look for the corner shop, and the street you want is the street after that. And that was fantastic because, you know, I knew corner shops, found it, and went there. And it was really good and it was great. And I was there in time to see the children before they went to bed. They were friendly and courteous and polite, unlike some other friends' children I saw before that, children of newly ordained curate as well as the one who was there. And the boy said, were you at college with Daddy? I said, no. And his father, I thought rather hurtfully, said, no, Jeremy was at college in 1981. And the boy said, that's a long time ago. You should be dead by now. So at least on Friday, the children were so much more polite and so much more encouraging. But we all know those apparently impossible situations. And Mary and Joseph would have recognized how I felt, although in the situation we just read about, they were so much more anxious. They'd come to the end of a synagogue long weekend in Jerusalem and would almost certainly have had a great time relaxing with friends and family, as well as some time off work. They then set off back to their village with a large group from their hometown and had simply assumed that Jesus was with them. Of course, they lived in a world very different to our own, where extended families and friends lived together in close-knit communities. And they hadn't thought twice when they set off about where Jesus might have been. And then they discovered he was nowhere to be found. They shot back to Jerusalem a day after they'd left it, and spent 3 days increasingly desperately trying to find him in this unfamiliar city, which was nothing like as safe as the village in which they lived. And at first sight, when they found him, his response to his mother's anxiety appears to have been pretty insensitive. She says, "Why have you treated us like this?" in verse 48. "Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." And all he could say was, "Why were you anxious?" You'd have thought, for someone who's God and therefore knows anything, that he'd have known the answer to that without having to ask it. And it does appear at first slightly insensitive reply. But Luke's record of what happened that day helps us to understand a little more of what was happening. For in reply to Mary's question, the Lord Jesus said something slightly different in sense to the what we see here. He says it was necessary. It was necessary for me to be engaged in my Father's agenda. He uses the same phrase again, and uses it twice, after the resurrection, when talking to a couple he met, traveling down the road from Jerusalem to Emmaus. In response to Jesus asking this couple why they looked so upset and discouraged, one of them replied, "Are you a stranger in Jerusalem? Do you not know what's been happening in the last 3 days? Do you not know what's happened to Jesus of Nazareth, a prophet mighty in word and deed? But then our rulers handed him over and he was crucified." And then there was probably a pause when they said in a disconsolate way, "But we had hoped that he'd be the one to redeem Israel." They were devastated. And in response, Jesus uses the same word. It was necessary. It was necessary for the Messiah to suffer. And explain from the scriptures how all that had been part of his heavenly Father's plan. Luke is trying to help us understand that there'll always be those times in our lives when we don't understand what God is up to. Times when we feel disappointed or upset or confused by what's happening. Times when we can't quite reconcile what we believe with what we're going through. And how can we become, we ask ourselves as we read this passage, those who aren't as unsettled as we might be by times like that. And we can learn something about how to respond to those situations from the understandable mistakes that Mary and Joseph made. For their experience reminds us how easily we can make assumptions in our relationship with the Lord Jesus. We can all too easily forget to communicate, to listen, and in busy lives assume he's quite happy with what's happening in our lives. We get distracted, we focus on opportunities and demands of the moment, and then something goes wrong and we realize actually things aren't as they ought to be. Reading these verses is meant to encourage us when we don't understand what's happening, or when we find ourselves asking, "Where are you, Jesus, in this situation? This is not what I'd have wanted, not what I'd have expected. Why aren't you sorting it out?" And from Mary and Joseph, we learn that we're less likely to be thrown in these circumstances if we're better at keeping in touch with him. We'd have picked up earlier, perhaps, how to respond, been reassured in advance before it went wrong.